Home opener.
Yeah, against the Pistons. They'll go up against J.B. Bickerstaff, the man who I said yesterday, did you think this was cold when I said this yesterday? Jeff gave me like the weirdest look. I said, yep, J.B. Bickerstaff figured he'd be here for the home opener this year. I just don't think he thought he'd be on the South Bend.
Oh, it was funny more than anything else.
Oh, he looked at me like, I was like, oh, how could you say that? Oh, I thought I saw steam coming out of his ears.
He probably was just hungry.
All right. What do you think of that? First of all, I love the storyline going into this. I think the NBA takes advantage of opportunity like nobody's business. You know, I just think they're so smart. The only thing I was kind of surprised by was that the Lakers game, that somehow LeBron seems to figure out a way to get the Lakers game close to Thanksgiving. So he's here for Thanksgiving.
I don't know. Nice. Probably has more room in the house in Bath than he does in L.A.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
Closer to the family, easier for people to come into town.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, but I just also, so you know, the Lakers are here next week too. So that, I mean, this is some pretty big headlines going
on. Heck yeah.
You know?
So the first
the
one is.
The pride of Old Trail makes his way back to Cleveland in Bronny. I don't think that'll be a story, a huge storyline, but.
So I always, J.B. Bickerstaff was always the funny one because I got the move when they moved on from him. Like, it made sense to me. It is a move that was really, really hard to make, and I give them a ton of credit for doing it. And it's they looked at this team with J.B. Bickerstaff at the helm, and they said, you have taken us as far as you can, and we are really thankful for that. But we have hit your ceiling, and so we need somebody else to come in here who has a higher ceiling. But we are beyond thankful for the fact that you came in here, you righted this thing after the John Beilein mess. You instilled a culture. You got a defensive identity in here. Your offense wasn't up to snuff. It wasn't there. You weren't going to win playing the style that you were playing. We needed to get an offensive tactician in here to change this team. So we're going to go hire that guy. And so it was the most awkward thing that you can do, where you walk up to a guy who's been successful and you shake his hand and you go, you know, the old Tribe Called Quest line, thank you for your service. We got it from here. That's kind of where it was with J.B. Bickerstaff. Thank you for your service. We got it from here. You've taken us as far as you can take us, and we're over the moon with what you've done. But we got to get somebody else in here to raise the ceiling higher.
Okay, so my point on the Cavs right now, and you talk about J.B. Bickerstaff, and then you talk about Atkinson, that, you know, with Kenny, I think there are some things here that we kind of saw early on, like if Evan Mobley is going to play like he did in Toronto, this is going to be a lot of fun this season.
Put the ball in his hands.
But I think Bob Fanan hit the nail on the head. I don't know if you had a chance to read his preview like a couple days ago in the Chronicle.
No, I haven't had a chance to read his piece yet.
You know, he had five reasons the Cavs will make the playoffs and then five reasons they won't. But his five reasons go right to the heart of the only change the team really made other than drafting a player, right? Is that you changed head coaches, and that other head coach is going to be here tonight with his new team, and you know they're going to have a little bit of vinegar coming into this game,
and you
because
know what,
they want to represent their coach and they want to give the Cavs a run for their money. Make your point, and then I'm going to. Fanan made great points in the Chronicle.
Oh, the only thing I was going to add in is that's a phenomenal move for Detroit for him to come in and do the same thing after the Monty Williams train wreck. Get somebody in here to instill a culture, to instill an identity, and all of that stuff, and hopefully there's success. I have no ill will to J.B. Bickerstaff. There's no anger. There's no bitterness. There's nothing like that. It's nothing but respect, man. It's just you took us as far as you can get us, and I'm thankful for that. But it's time to look in a different direction.
All right, so Bob gave five reasons why he thought the Cavs will make the playoffs. And when it comes, the coaching part of this is where I thought he just knocked it out of the park in his story. And it's a really easy read, too. And it's just so, you know, he talked about Donovan Mitchell coming back. And, you know, he is, you know, all NBA, right? And that's, like, I think we all agree with that. He also took note about the fact how deep the bench is. And Brad Daugherty said that yesterday in the afternoon show. We'll play that for you in a second. There are two points, though, that he made in his five reasons why the Cavs will make the playoffs, and they're just like, I don't want to say they're direct shots at J.B. Bickerstaff, but it's the contrast between Kenny Atkinson and J.B. Bickerstaff, and that, you know, Atkinson's promising to play as many as 10 players on a given night, and he's 100% right when he talks about it should cut down on injuries. Because they were out of gas at the end of the season last year.
Yeah.
They were banged up in the playoffs. And he, you know, talked about how fatigue's going to, you know, won't settle in or shouldn't settle in if he's going to run 10 players out there a night. The other part was an adjustment question. And like, I thought about this all at the end of the season. And then when Bob put it in writing, I was like, oh, you are right, man. You are totally right. Atkinson is capable of leading the Cavs into the Eastern Conference Finals. His forte is making adjustments in the playoffs, and that's something that was lacking in the past. So it's not that J.B. Bickerstaff was all of the problem, but it was philosophical more than anything. And, you know, we knew this was going to go one way or another, and the front office wasn't about to walk away from what, you know, they've invested into the guys that are on the floor. And then Doherty brought that up yesterday, talking about being able to, like, Brad said on the afternoon show, which I thought was really good too, is that the Cavs have at least 9 players on this team right now that could play on any team in the NBA, which makes you think they're pretty deep. And by midseason, you know, they're talking about maybe 10, maybe even 11 players that could be playing for any other team. But Brad brought this up too, and I thought this was super interesting. What'd you think of that? Again, don't forget that he came out of, you know, Lenny Wilkins' system. That they, it wasn't just Brad. Brad was the guy that was the number one pick, but he also had Ron Harper. He also had Mark Price. He also had Hot Rod. He also had, you know, he had all these great players around him that made him a better player and went into things. And yeah, they couldn't get by the Bulls, but they were a great team and they played great team basketball. And for him, the way he sees the current Cavaliers seems to me, and I'm just saying this as a fan, reminiscent of the teams that he played on for the Cavs.
I'm a little on pump the brakes on that one. I could see where your head's at, but I want to see it more before I start saying anything about finals of any
assortment. I still think they're the 4-5 seed right now.
Yeah, I can't get there yet, but I could see where his head's at, which counts for something. The main thing that I saw out of that game, and again, it's Toronto. Toronto is a mess of a team. Masai Ujiri is probably going to be on the hot seat by the end of this season because he's tied up a whole bunch of money in guys he probably shouldn't have tied up that much cash into. But the thing that stood out to me was, you know, of course, Evan Mobley with the ball in his hands and all the different things he could do. But that was one of the first games in a while that felt like Donovan Mitchell got his points without having to be force-fed. How it was in a flow. It wasn't like, oh, we got to make sure Donovan gets his touches. Oh, we got to make sure Donovan gets... No, it was in the flow of an offense. Donovan Mitchell got 20... I think he ended up 21, 22 points in that game with relative ease. And it didn't feel at any point like you were force-feeding him. Now, again, it's Toronto. You were up by 30. We'll see what this looks like when you go up against better teams. But that was the part that stood out. And the fact that having Ty Jerome come off that bench and actually play a true point guard position is a really nice changeup for this team.
All right, so if the only change you made was truly Kenny Atkinson, right, the coach, how many wins is a coach worth? What's he worth?
I mean, what Steve Kerr...
If you go by what Fanan was talking about, using 10 guys, right, being fresher at the end of the season, is he worth 2 games? Is he worth 5 games? Let's say he's worth 2 games, right, to the good. If he's worth 2 games to the good... The Cavaliers are the 2 seed in the East last year. Or they're tied with the Knicks at 52 and 32 at the end of the season, instead of 48 and 34. Let's just say he's not, and you're 2 games less. The difference in the East, because it's so close, is the 8 seed. That's the difference between winning games like I know people want to say, okay, Toronto's probably not going to make the playoffs this year. They're a bottom 4 team in the Eastern Conference, right? 25 wins last season. And they're still going to be. I still think they're bottom 4 team in the East. But 2 games up, 2 games down, that's the difference between your seed in the East, and that's how tight it is. What are the Celtics going to look like? I mean, they were 14 games better than the Knicks in the East. So if you ask me, if the only change is Atkinson and the difference is being able to make adjustments in the playoffs, because let's be honest, no one cares about the regular season. Right. Once we hit the playoffs,
well, if he can make adjustments, season and all that stuff, because you want to see this stuff. But you're right, playoff.
You want to have home court advantage. You want to have home court advantage. Exactly. That's what you're playing.
So the best version of this that I could come off the top of my head, and I know people are going to barf a little bit as I say it. And I apologize now, but is Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr? So Mark Jackson, that team went 51-31 with the Golden State Warriors in 2014-15 season, lost in the playoffs. It was the first 50 win season since 1993-1994. They moved on from Mark Jackson. Brought in Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr the next year, 67-15, and won the title, as we know way too well. That, to me, is the best version of what could take place. And that was a serious swing. So I don't know if it's going to be that big. I don't know if he's going to be able to really turn the tide of this thing that well. But boy, that's a pretty good showing in itself. So that's the best version. If it's less than that, great. But you're right. Until we get into the playoffs and you go up against a Knicks team that got Karl Anthony Towns and you see a Philadelphia team, if you have them all healthy, which, boy, that's a big ol' if. And now the NBA is investigating that one. And you see a Boston or you see these top tier teams, we're really not going to know. So hopefully that is the case. Hopefully they roll. It's going to make the regular season fun when you get all those big boy teams in town, when you start seeing the Jokic's, the Oklahoma City Thunder, those kind of teams.
All right, Tim May joins us next. Ohio State gets back on the field after a week off, after that tough loss to Oregon. Nebraska tomorrow, the man to break it down, Tim May. At 1:20, the man to break down the Browns, Kevin Stefanski. You'll hear his press conference. And then at 1:40, quick predicts. Join us. 216-474-0092.